Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Over a decade ago, attorney Michael Bailey turned his attention to estate law after he recognized the unacceptable number of adults without proper end-of-life planning. Michael recognizes that many of his clients have difficulty finding the time for making a proper estate plan. That's why he became the Mobile Estate Planner. He will go to wherever you are to assist you with your estate planning, including writing wills, trusts, and giving you the information you need to avoid probate. Now, ATX, Ask the Experts, presents Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source, also heard on 100.7 FM. Online at 560thesource.com. Let me try that again. 560thesource.com. And on the TuneIn app. See, somewhere in there, I'm going to say something wrong. It's just the way that it works. You know, it's Murphy's Law. I'm like, I swear I'm not going to do it today. But of course, we do it. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. That's a line you can use if you want to talk about your own personal stuff, or you know, you don't really want to talk on air about what's going on in your life and let the rest of the world know about all your things. So again, 720-394-6887 is my direct line. And the studio line is 303-477-5600. Now, I know I have talked about previously I've done shows where I've talked about how the estate planning is not for you. And of course, you know, as soon as I say estate planning is not for you, people are like, oh, look, oh, good, it's not for me. I don't need to do it. Well, that's – yeah. Sometimes you have to listen to more than one sentence of what I say. It happens a lot with my wife is pretty funny. She'll she likes to believe that she knows me well enough that she can finish my sentences for me. And that's always an exciting time, especially when the sentence that I was going to finish is not the same as what she finishes. So I'll say a sentence and then like take a breath or something. You know, she'll tell you that I pause for like, you know, half a minute or, you know, an hour or, you know, 3 days or 6 weeks or whatever, you know. But, you know, I will have like half a thought that I say and then I'll go to finish the thought, but she'll already have finished it for me. So we have a little debate sometimes, a little fight sometimes about whether or not it's worth me saying the last half of my sentence because she's already finished it for me. I'm like, okay, well, since you apparently know what I was going to say, we'll just kind of leave it alone. Yes, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's annoying, sometimes she gets mad at me. The other night she said to me, because I started to say something and then my daughter finished the sentence for me. And I was like, my daughter's like, oh, well, you go ahead and you finish your sentence out. I'm like, no, it's okay. You've already finished it for me. And my wife says, you too. I'm like, yeah, that's a good band. You know, they get a little political in their shows from time to time, but you know, it is a good band, the U2 band. You know, some of their music's better than others, but the Joshua Tree was a good album. If you remember the Joshua Tree and you know, all that good stuff. But, you know, so estate planning is not for you. We're not saying it's not something you need to do. I'm not saying it's something that you can't do. I'm not saying it's something that shouldn't need to be done anytime soon. I'm saying that planning for your estate is a lot for your loved ones. It's a lot for their survivors. I mean, even end-of-life planning. It's partially for you because you'll still be alive, but it's to give your family members the chance to be able to take care of you. So I had a client this last – like a week ago who called me and was like, oh, well, you know, we need to – you know, my dad, he's not done anything with funding his trust. I'm like, okay. So we want to hire you to fund the trust. I'm like, all right, sounds good. This is a trust that we signed back in July. So we're going July, August, September, almost into October. So it'd been nearly 3 months since we'd created the trust, and you know, we had created the trust, so that's good, but we needed to get assets into the trust. And so they, you know, I'd offered back in July that if they had trouble doing that, I could do it for them. And, you know, I'd have to pay me extra fees because it's extra work from what we decided to do. But, you know, we went about doing that. Well, you know, for some reason, you know, I mean, that, so in talking to the daughter, apparently procrastination was the thing that her dad did best. He like procrastinated everything, and everything was a slow, you know, we'll get to it when we get to it. Like, they were all rather surprised that he went ahead and moved forward with me getting the trust done. And so, you know, I was talking to her, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, why don't you talk to your dad, see what's going on, you know, make sure he's okay with that, and then get back to me. I said, okay, that's cool. So this was a Friday morning that this client had called me. I was like, sweet, sounds good. And I was actually, I had gone somewhere else and done another couple other appointments. And then I got an email from the son. So this guy had multiple kids, and I was talking to the daughter, and then his son called. His son sent me an email. Said, oh, well, Dad died in his sleep last night, so what do we need to do now? And then the daughter called me back and said, oh, I just found out that my dad died in his sleep last night. What do we need to do? And I said, well, we get to have a little bit more fun. We get to go through a whole different process. At least, but when we talked about how at least we had the documents in place, you know, we would have to, a lot of the things were, you know, some of the things were in his wife's name. Some of the things were in his name, but there was a small enough amount that was in his name that we could get away with doing a small case affidavit. So we didn't have to go through a full blown probate, which was, you know, a nice thing. But it was just one of those things where it came up. We're like, ah, well, here we go. This is what we need to do now. And so we, you know, I explained how we would get through the process. She says, well, you know, I don't think we ever recorded the deeds. I said, well, let's talk about that. The deeds were signed back in July. Yes. Okay, good. So deeds were signed back in July. So technically the trust owns the properties. Yeah, but we didn't record them. Well, just because Dad was, you know, procrastinating and slow, he did sign them when he was alive and when he was mentally competent and when he had the ability to, you know, make that decision. So we can now go record them with the county, even though he is now passed away, but that will show that the transfer happened back in July to the trust so that it's all covered. Oh, everybody said. Oh, says the daughter. Well, that's a good thing. Yes, yes, it is. Now, there's a certain type of deed that you need to record before death. Otherwise, it's ineffective, and that's a beneficiary's deed. And a beneficiary's deed is a transfer on death deed, basically. It's called a beneficiary's deed, but that's what it does, is it'll transfer real property at death to whomever you designate as your beneficiary. Okay, makes perfect sense. So, but these were not beneficiary's deeds. These were deeds we could record. But even then, the daughter's like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. You know, can we hire you to do it for us? Sure. So I did it. And then she called me from the bank the other day. And at the bank, they had decided that, I thought that I wrote a joint trust, but the bank was pretty sure that I'd written a trust that became irrevocable upon Dad's death. Okay, whichever. And so then they went to get a tax ID number from the IRS. And the IRS website said, oh, well, you know, we can't give you a tax ID number for this trust. And the error code, I believe, was there was another family trust. So it was the last name family trust. And I'm not telling you the last name because I don't reveal exactly who my clients are. So, you know, we'll call it, you know, last name family trust. Well, there are more people in the world with the last name than just them. You know, my last name is Bailey. I know full well there is more than one Bailey family in the entire world. As a matter of fact, when I went to college, there was more than one Michael Bailey at the college I went to. Sometimes I would get calls from people who letting me know that I'd left my backpack or my coat or something in the advanced physics lab, which was interesting to me because I was a freshman at that point. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I was in the advanced physics lab, but I might have been. So thank you for calling me about my notebook, backpack, and or coat that I'm wearing. So, you know, that there was a little bit of name confusion. And the IRS, their computer program, apparently can't distinguish between a last name family trust of one person versus another, even though they've got different grantors and different Social Security numbers going in. So they're going to have to end up mailing in a Social Security or an application for an employer identification number, tax ID number for the trust. And, you know, it'll take a few extra days, you know, slightly annoying, slightly obnoxious, slightly delaying, but still can get stuff done. So you know, the estate plan, even though it didn't work exactly as we intended, it's still working and it's still making their lives easier. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source. Also heard on 100.7 FM. You can hear us online at 560thesource.com. And also the TuneIn app. If you were to download the TuneIn app, you can totally find us there. It's pretty awesome. Exciting stuff. You know, and then you can listen on your little mini computer that also makes phone calls. You know, you may call that a cell phone or a mobile phone, but we all know they're little mini computers that also make phone calls. Yeah, that's really what they are. It's kind of awesome. Except for when they seize up on you or they decide to do what computers do of being like, nope, I'm just not going to perform that operation now. I'm a computer. You can't make me. Ah. So then, of course, you implement the great fix for everything. I'm going to turn you off. I'm going to restart you. I'm going to turn you off and turn you back on. I'm going to hope you work then. All right, fine. That's the way it is. We can do that. So, yeah, I had another client who came in this week to talk to me. I said, all right, so what's going on? She's like, well, we need to talk about my mom. I said, okay, what's going on with your mom? She says, well, what do you know about surviving spouse benefits for the VA? I said, well, I know a fair amount about that. What are we talking about? And apparently her she'd been married twice, and both of her deceased husbands were Korean War vets. Okay. So she was talking about the VA aid and attendance benefit. Now, I've done whole shows on the VA aid and attendance benefit. It's the short version of it is that if you are a wartime veteran who served during time of war in World War II or Korea or Vietnam or even the Gulf Wars in Iraq or the current war on terror, if you've served during a time of war as defined by Congress for this benefit, then you have the ability and you need assistance with activities of daily living. So you need assistance, bathing or eating or dressing or things like that. We say, okay, well, we've got, the problem here. You need the aid. You need the attendance. That's why it's called the aid and attendance benefit. You need the help with living. Then there's money from the VA to help pay for that. And, that's – I mean, when I first started and kind of struck out completely on my own, that's pretty much all I did for the first couple of years was work with VA benefits and the VA in attendance benefit because the program is designed to help wartime veterans, but it has an asset limit. It's, somewhere around $40,000 for an individual or $80,000 for a couple. But if you're on the older scale, let's say you're like 98 and in poor health, there's kind of a sliding scale where like, yeah, maybe we don't see that you really want a full $40,000 just in your name because, the VA is like, yeah, you only need about $6,000 because we don't think you can live very long. Okay, well, that's the VA's rules. It's their money. They can set the rules. You've heard of the golden rule, right? He who makes the gold makes the – he who has the gold makes the rules, or the other version that we learned as kids, do unto others as they would have as you would have others do unto you. Or, if you have the gold, you can make the rules for who gets it. Works out nicely. Well, maybe not nicely, but, at least that's kind of the rule. So if people are overqualified, so let's say that somebody has been, in this case, this particular client, their mom has a house and somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 saved. So, not a huge amount of money, but not a small amount of money either. If somebody gave me $100,000, I believe my exact words would be, thank you very much. I wouldn't be like, oh, it's only $100,000. I'll turn that down. It's really not worth my time or effort. Yeah, $100,000 is a significant amount of money. But when she's looking at going into the proverbial nursing home that's going to cost $12,000 to $15,000 a month, $100,000 isn't even going to last out the year. So, we're looking at, okay, if she can have up to $40,000, but she's got a house worth a couple hundred thousand and about $100,000 in cash, she's going to be overqualified from an asset standpoint for the VA. So we talked about that and said, well, where's mom staying right now? Is she in a nursing home in a community yet? She said, no, she's staying with my brother. I said, okay, is mom paying your brother for him taking care of her? She said, yeah. Said, okay, have you set that up under the official Medicaid rules? She said, what do you mean? I said, well, here's the deal. Medicaid and the VA assume that if a family member is taking care of an elderly family member, they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. That's a decent assumption. Parents take care of children. Children can't take care of parents. All those type of things. Well, if you have a family member who's acting as an official caregiver and being paid for their work as a caregiver, you know, sometimes you get somebody who is a nurse who can be a medical caregiver. Sometimes it's just somebody who's there to assist mom or dad getting in and out of bed, or assist mom and dad with their grocery shopping, or, you know, paying bills, or not answering the phone calls that tell them that the IRS is going to come and arrest them unless they go to Home Depot and get a green dot card, or if you're not familiar with that scam. It's a scam. If the IRS calls you and tells you that they're sending the police over to arrest you right that minute unless you pay them, you can rest assured that's not the IRS, especially if it's their first contact with you. The IRS will contact you multiple times via letter, only if you get an individual assigned to your case. And then they'll send you a letter saying, hey, I'm the individual assigned to your case. I'm going to visit you, or I'm going to call you. Then they have the ability to call. But, you know, calling you out of the blue and telling you, oh, you owe, you know, $6 trillion. And you must pay via, you know, green dot prepaid credit card, because, you know, the IRS can only accept green dot prepaid credit cards. They have no ability to accept any other type of payment, only green dot prepaid credit cards. If somebody says that, that should be your first clue that that might not be a legit call.
I had a guy ask me, he wanted me to get Target gift cards.
Oh, Target?
He said the IRS would only accept several $50 Target gift cards.
So apparently the IRS is now partnered with Target as the only authorized purchaser or payment provider. Is that correct?
Yeah, the only way to pay off your IRS debt is through a $50 Target gift.
Wow. See, I think they would have accepted at least, you know, $25 or $50 or $100 cards. But no, I mean, So anybody who's clearly a scam, not the way we want to do it. I actually, I have several clients who are kind of leftover clients from when I used to work tax resolution. And I had one where they owed the IRS like $1.5 million. And we did some restructuring and stuff and ended up settling the debt for $200,000+. And then about 6 months later, she got one of those calls and she called me freaked out. She's like, what do we do? I said, are you still making your payments? Yes. Have you accrued a new liability? No. Then it's a scam. Don't entertain them. Now, you know, I've had some fun with them and played with them and told them, you know, stupid things and been like, oh, we're going to send the police over. Okay. Well, they're coming right now. All right. Well, they're going to come arrest you. Okay. They're going to be at your house in 5 minutes. All right. Well, you don't seem very concerned. I'm like, oh, you caught on to that, did you? Well, what do you think is going to happen? I'm like, well, see, the thing is, you called my cell phone thinking that it's my home phone. So number one, you've got bad information. Number two, if you're sending to my house, that's great because I'm in Colorado Springs today. So you're not going to find me unless the policeman wants to hang out for like 5 hours until I get home. You know, it's not going to work. And so they get all agitated and they yell and scream at you. And I'm like, look, you're a scammer. I can waste your time, you know, because I'm driving between appointments between here and Colorado Springs. You know, still got 45-minute drive. I can hang out and talk to you for 45 minutes. But, you know, that's what we're not doing. We're not trying to, you know, so we don't want to do scams. Don't do scams. But this client who was talking to me about her mom. So there's an official way that the Medicaid has that if you're a family member giving care and you're being paid for it, you don't want that money to be considered a gift. You don't want that money to be considered something that's just being given away. You want that money to be, you know, not subject to a 5-year look back period of people trying to come in and take the money. That's not what you want to have happen. So instead of that, we say, okay, well, we've got, we can use Medicaid's rules. There's something known as a personal services contract or an official Medicaid qualified caregiver agreement. And this is, you know, the few basic requirements. It needs to be written. It needs to be notarized. It needs to name the person giving the care, the person receiving the care, and then, you know, lay out their duties and what's supposed to happen in taking care of mom and dad. And so if you set this up, then payments from mom or dad or another family member to the other family member, they're not going to be subject to the 5-year look back period for Medicaid. And that can be useful and helpful because then we can be transferring assets out of mom's name using the Medicaid – mom or dad's name – using the Medicaid rules so that we can preserve as many assets as we can. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ The Source, also heard on 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. Phone number to talk to us in studio is 303-477-5600, and my direct line is 720-394-6887. So if you have an aging parent and you're concerned about, you know, Medicaid rules and transfer of assets and what can we do and all that kind of stuff, you know, the 720-394-6887 number is the right one to call. So this particular client, we're going to set up a way to try and protect her assets. We understand that given her age and health, we may not be able to protect all of the assets because we probably are not going to be able to get past the 5-year period for Medicaid. But since the VA has a no-day look-back period, it's pretty long. It's no days. It's, you know, people are like, oh, it's immediate. I'm like, oh, I don't like the word immediate and automatic because, you know, they don't quite play out as well in my world of estate planning as other people may think. But so what we can do is we can protect her assets so that we can start getting VA money. And then we'll use the VA money to help pay for her care and stretch her money out as long as possible. And in doing so, we hope to be able to care for mom for the rest of her life. We hope to be able to care for mom as long as we can and still preserve as many assets as we can for the children. Now, that kind of runs into, you know, one of the things that I tend to look at is that we don't want to have, you know, I'm a big proponent of being able to pass along assets to your own family. I'm a big proponent of families and being able to, you know, have families hold on to their money. You know, I mean, everybody loves the Internal Revenue Service. They want to give all their money to the Internal Revenue Service. Everybody loves the nursing home. They just want to give all their money to the nursing home. Everybody's favorite government program is Medicaid. They just want to give all their money to Medicaid. So you can see how these are ridiculous statements. Most people I know would like to be able to pass their money on to their kids, or at least to their relatives if they don't have kids. So, you know, I mean, I have clients who are, you know, they've been married for 40 years, never ended up having kids, but they want to, you know, transfer their assets to their brothers or sisters or something like that. Makes sense. Or I even have some of my younger clients, they want to transfer their assets to their parents. And I'm like, well, that sounds good. If you do have kids, then we'll probably redo things and, you know, move things around a little bit and figure it out. But you want to have this conversation. And that's kind of it, is a lot of people with aging parents, they're not quite sure how to have these conversations. And so if you're in that situation, you're like, oh, I'm not quite sure how to talk to my parents about this, say, hey, you know what, mom? I was listening to this crazy guy on the radio the other day, and his name's Michael Bailey, and he's an estate planning attorney, and he said I should talk to you about your estate plan. So do you have anything, or what's going on? Because, you know, if not, I'm going to be left holding the bag, and it's going to be an issue. And your parents can probably, you know, your parents may say something along the lines of, oh, don't worry about it, it'll all take care of itself. Well, don't accept that as an answer. Say, yeah, it's all going to take care of itself, I'm sure. Now, if you're me, you can say that because I'm a sarcastic punk and I can say that. If you're you, you could, you know, use your own, you know, methodology of, oh, you know, I understand what you're saying, mom and dad. I don't want to be intrusive, but we really need to have this conversation. I have a person who works at an office just down the hall from mine, and she caught me the other day and told me that her mom is apparently going through some early onset dementia, early onset Alzheimer's stuff. And so we're trying to, you know, she knew that this is what I do. So she came to talk to me about her mom and how can we get assets transferred? You know, how can we protect assets? So we kind of went through a whole, you know, way of, you know, the various options and, you know, things like there's an exception to the 5-year look back period if you've lived there and taken care of mom for the last 2 years if you're a family member and you've taken, or a, you know, a son or a daughter, and you've been taking care of your parents for the last 2 years, you can transfer, the house can be transferred to the son or daughter who is taking care of the parent, and it's not subject to the 5-year look back period. So she said, well, you know, I do live with my mom. I'm like, okay, well, that's good. How long have you lived there? Well, like, you know, 10 months. Okay, well, how long has it been since mom needed you to live there to take care of her? She said, oh, it's been about 6. I'm like, okay, do you have a doctor's note to that effect? Yes. Okay, cool. Now we've got a doctor's note that says that she needs care. So we've kind of counted 6 months. Well, we have another year and a half to go, and hopefully this friend of mine will be able to care for her mom for the next year and a half, and then we can transfer the house out of mom's name into the daughter's name. And in that way, we can protect the house so that it doesn't get, you know, hopefully doesn't have to get picked up by a nursing home or by Medicaid. You know, we're kind of in a race against time here. And, you know, who knows? So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source, also heard on 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. My phone number to talk to me on air, the studio number is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. So really, I mean, you're doing estate planning to plan for your those who are left behind, to make sure that you give them the final gift of everything is set up, everything's ready to go, instead of, oh, hey, here's your last final mess. Sorry, didn't mean to leave you a mess. Sucks to be you. Here we go. Here we are. And, you know, a lot of families don't want to have conversations about, you know, finances of parents and, you know, who, you know, what's supposed to happen to money after someone dies, or who's supposed to be in charge of making decisions if somebody becomes mentally incompetent. You know, they're not necessarily the most pleasant conversations you can ever have. However, they are important conversations. You know, I always tell people, like, oh, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I'm an estate planning attorney. They're like, oh, that sounds dreadfully boring. Well, yeah, but only when I'm working there. You know, so, I mean, what I do is not fun, dynamic, and exciting. Okay, so things change, so I guess it's dynamic. But they're important conversations to have. You don't want, you know, this is why we prepare. This is why we plan ahead. That's why it's estate planning. So thanks for listening to Michael Bailey here on 560KLZ, The Source. Phone number again is 720-394-6887. Give me a call and keep listening. John Rush is up next with Rush to Reason. Thanks and have a great day.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560, The Source. AM 560, FM 100.7, and online at 560thesource.com.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.